Now, we've been talking about our place over the last couple of weeks, and families can take part in a treasure hunt with a difference on Saturday when Brighton storyteller John Mason will lead participants on an interactive adventure through the streets of Hangleton, including heroes, villains and folk tales from the area's past. So the time travel treasure hunt is part of the Brighton Festival's Our Place programme. That's a day of free events. There was one last Saturday at Manor Gym in East Brighton. This coming Saturday, it's at Hangleton Community Centre, and storyteller John Mason joins us now. Thanks for coming on Radio Reverb, John.
Thank you very much for having me.
A treasure hunt with a difference. Come on then, yes. How does this work?
Well, so it's not so much just about finding the treasure. Basically, I could. I don't want to spoil the story, but I could give you a little bit of a flavour of it now.
Please do.
Okay. We'll start with Magnus Volk. Magnus Volk, the Brighton inventor in Victorian times. Now, what not a lot of people know, but he actually invented a time machine, is what I'll be telling people. The time machine, the chronoscope. But the chronoscope is lost. It's been broken into pieces. And, sadly, evil forces from Brighton's past want to get hold of all the pieces with which they can control Brighton's destiny. So I will be leading groups of people around the streets of Hangleton, finding pieces of the chronoscope. And as we go, I will be recounting the adventure, telling the story as we go. And the story will take us to various different points within Hangleton's past, as well as exploring the space itself. And who knows what's going to happen in the end.
So you've been digging deep into the history of Hangleton.
I have bits and bobs, but I've not been doing it alone. In fact, most of the digging deep has been done by an incredible team of Sussex University undergraduates from the history department there, who've been basically doing research for me. And because they're fantastic, they've even been coming up with puzzles and bits of the story and really, yeah, making it something extra and more than I would have come up with on my own.
I mean, it sounds great, but is it something where someone who lives in Hangleton thinks, well, you can't tell me anything I don't know about this neighbourhood? Do you think people go along and be surprised by what they hear?
Well, I'd like to think so. That was very much in my mind doing it. I live on the other side of Brighton. I live in Hollingdean, and I certainly would never want to go up to somebody and tell them, this is your heritage, you should listen to this. That's completely against the spirit of what we're doing. But I'd like to think that people who live in Hangleton could really enjoy it, because what we've come up with is an adventure, a story that is magical and sci-fi and social history all on top of each other, that is just going to be fun, a way of exploring the history, even if it's stuff you've already heard.
I mean, there are accepted narratives of Brighton. You know, we all know about the Prince Regent.
Yes.
We all know about Magnus Volk. But there are some parts of Brighton where some of those histories are a little bit more blurred or covered, and you know, it's always that question: who gets to tell the history?
Yes, absolutely, and that is key to how we've approached this. Really, the villain of the piece is a made up fictional character, but loosely based on an actual real life blackshirt leader from the Brighton area.
Oh, really?
From the 1930s, and again, not a lot of people know quite seriously that back in the 1930s there was an awful lot of support for fascism in Brighton, which is completely counter to the liberal bohemian atmosphere that we expect of the place now. And I think you know, that might be what, if you hang around in the North Lane on a Saturday, everything looks very hippie and wonderful.
Yeah.
But if you go to the outlying areas, then people's experience of life is very different, and
sure,
so there's different views.
I think a lot of bohemians got caught up in fascism in the 30s, didn't they? But I mean, we should probably move on. But there was quite a trend amongst a certain class of people.
Yes.
No, that is strangely true. Yes, absolutely. All sorts of people wanted to get back out to nature in ways which in retrospect look very similar to the Hitler Youth and things. Yeah.
Yeah. So it strikes me from what you're saying that if I had a little person, it would be great for them, but I would also find it great
I
following
hope so.
You around Hangleton as well on
definitely.
A Saturday.
I mean, that's one of the things that in storytelling I really strive for most, is I think there are very few concepts and emotional hits, emotional messages that cannot be made accessible to all ages at the same time. And just because somebody is under 12, it doesn't mean that they won't still enjoy a story. And just because somebody is over 40, it doesn't mean that they won't still just get caught up in a really cracking good story. And so that's what we've come up with.
Now, the amazing thing about Our Place is, obviously, it was set up by Kate Tempest in 2017, and her impact is still felt within that community. And we've talked to so many people from Our Place who, you know, was so kind of emotionally now wrapped up in what Our Place has brought to their communities. It's an ongoing thing all year round. It's not just popping up at the Brighton Festival. So it's really brought the communities together and really got people thinking about, you know, how they interact with each other. Are you hoping that your time travel treasure hunt will have a similar longer term impact, that people who come on it, they're learning about Hangleton? It's like, this is the place I live. I didn't know that. Or I'm going to make up my own narratives about the place I live. And that's something that will continue over the course of the year.
That would be wonderful. That absolutely. That's exactly what I hope for with almost all the storytelling stuff I do. It's all, I've realised over the years, it all comes back to landscape, and it all comes back to people's understanding of the space that we're in. We can take where we live for granted so easily, and everywhere has got a story. Everywhere has got drama and grit and magic and characters. And I certainly feel that when you know about that, then you look at the place where you live in a different way. And if people want to take up the threads that we're playing with and come up with their own narratives, then that's even better.
I particularly like the fact that students from the university are involved, because quite often students, it's the sort of town gown, and students come for 3 years, have a few drinks, get a degree, and they don't connect to, you know, that's the perception. So to actually have these students engaged at a very local level, doing that investigation into the history of Hangleton, to present something that is enjoyed by the community, I think that's quite a special connection being built.
I'm really pleased with it, yeah. And I know that Lucy Robinson and Chris Warren, who are the two lecturers on the degree course that these students are from, are both very, very keen on that approach too, that history, intellectual discourse shouldn't just be kept within the ivory tower, it should be out there. And the students,
well, what's it, well, if it's kept in there and it's sort of this intellectual towers talking to each other, yes. How does the community benefit from that?
Exactly, yeah. And for the students to actually, you know, get to go out into the community and see a different side to Brighton than they might not. I don't think many of the students of old had ever gone to hang around in Hangleton, because it's not the place that many young visitors to the town necessarily would.
Yeah.
So it's opened their eyes, and it's got them to appreciate the locality even more richly, and just the fact that they're actually getting to put something back in and apply all the theory that they've learned in a way which is not just intellectual but is actually benefiting people's lives. I think that's made a massive difference to them too.
Great. So how does doing work like this inspire you as a storyteller? You must have come away with all your creative juices have started flowing through doing this.
Definitely. Just hearing to the stuff the students came up with, just listening to it was just staggering. But I just feel like I'm in my element. I really do.
Well, you look like it. I mean, you're a man with a massive grin. I think we've been doing this show for 2.5 weeks now, and you're winning the top grin of the festival award. Very, very happy storyteller.
Well, good. Well, it's nice to know. That's, I mean, one of the reasons why I love storytelling is basically because I love the stories. I just love, you know, it's great stuff. And I get to stand in front of people
with
and
the passion.
Say,
he really is.
What more can you ask for? Than if there's something that you think is fantastic, and I get to stand there and say, listen to this, this is fantastic, and share it with people. And that's ultimately what I'm doing, really. And coming up with a brilliant yarn to shape it all in as well.
What's the name of that time machine that's broken up?
The chronoscope.
Is this something you made up, or did Magnus Fock? Because Magnus Fock did invent.
I love that.
He invented lots of quite off-the-wall things. It wouldn't have surprised me if
absolutely, the
daddy long legs. That looks terrifying.
I know. God knows how it stood up. It was, for listeners who don't know, the daddy long legs was basically, it looked a bit like a cable car, but on stilts that went along rails that were under the sea. It was a couple of hundred metres out from the seashore. All sorts of bonkers stuff. He had the first electric house in Brighton. And so when I say that to people and they say, and not a lot of people know that he invented a time machine, then I have people go, what, really? And that's quite gratifying. As a storyteller, that's one of the best bits of thanks you can get. But no, I made it up.
You've been telling that joke since 2130. Yeah. See what I did there? Thank you.
Boom, boom. So, the time travel treasure hunt, it's part of Brighton Festival's Our Place programme, taking place at Hangleton Community Centre on Saturday. Give us the times and how people can get involved.
Okay, well, it's starting at 11 a.m. and then there's another one at 1:30 p.m. It takes about 60 minutes to an hour and a half in total, but it's just a gentle walk around Hangleton. We will be starting at Hangleton Community Centre. People turning up to the whole Our Place programme can sign up on the day. There are limited numbers of places for each session, but rather than people having to book in advance, just come along. There'll be so much else going on at Hangleton Community Centre and in the park for people to enjoy. And while you're there, put your name down and then come and meet me at the community centre and we will take you off for an adventure.
Well, John Mason, thank you very much, and long may your time travel treasure hunt continue. So it sounds great. It sounds like there might be, you know, an app or something like that in the works after this.
Well,
or are you
so
keeping strictly analog?
No, I am, storytelling is the most analog art that there is, but the students got to play with all sorts of amazing 360 cameras and things while we're making this, and there is a hope that somehow the videos and things that they made might be left there with like QR codes in perpetuity, so that people who are just having a walk around Hangleton can scan it with their phone, find out the stuff that the students found out, really. If we can pull that off, then that'd be wonderful. Watch this space.
Great. John Mason, thank you very much for joining us on Radio Reverb. Good luck on Saturday with the Time Travel Treasure
Hunt. Thank you for having me.